Can you hear me now?
Yes, yo. We can.
Let's go. We got it.
All right.
We made it. Oh, there you go.
We don't have Marshall yet, though.
Yeah. Marshall?
What's up?
There we go. All
right.
We got it.
Everybody here.
I want to do the text-to-speak thing with Mark, though.
Yeah, that would have been so lit. You guys would have had to like keep pausing and going back like 10 seconds of the conversation to like
All right, well, Marshall, what were you saying about the NBA stuff before we realized Mark couldn't talk to us?
Oh, I don't even remember, really.
All right.
I was just saying, ooh. I feel like everyone's overrating Houston. I don't know, Mark, did you read Zach Lowe article?
Yeah, everyone is absolutely overrating Houston.
But, look, dude, they won, like, they were the one seed.
I don't know. No, it's not even so much that. It's just, like, they
who's going to match up on Durant for them? Tucker, I guess, but
the LeBron stopper, PJ Tucker. I told you.
Also, I just feel like their offense is all about getting like a mismatch. But like when Golden State goes with their death lineup, like the worst defender is probably Curry.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't know.
Well, sure, I'm getting a little bit different than that. Like they play pick and roll to get switches to ISO, and like, if you get Andre Iguodala switched onto you, or Klay Thompson switched onto you, or Draymond Green or Kevin Durant switched onto you, like, that's not a good matchup.
Yeah.
It's not, and they haven't shown any semblance of a – their plan B is a dribble fucking handoff. That is their plan B. It's not some, like, motion-based – I don't know. I just – yeah. And James Harden has not been very good these playoffs.
No, not at all.
Did anyone see his stats outside of game one? Outside both game ones? Versus Utah and Minnesota.
I didn't see him. What are they?
No.
37% from the field, 26% from three.
Yeah, but game one.
Game one. Yeah,
you gotta count game one in.
I mean, I would argue that
you can't just like cherry pick his worst seven games.
Okay, no, because see, I knew you guys were his worst seven games. One, his worst eight games, but also like game one's kind of a feel out game, and you make adjustments based on it.
Also, still, if you just include the full five games against the Jazz, he still only shot 40% from the field and 29% from three.
Yeah.
Doug, he's resting up.
He's resting.
And Utah has a good defense, but are we really going to sit here and act like the Warriors aren't better suited to play Houston?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Definitely. I mean, the Warriors are better suited to face everybody in the league than the Jazz.
I don't think Steph's at 100%, but even with Steph at 80%, I still think – like I said, it's 5.5. I think it'd be like 5.5, so I should probably go 6, but I'm going to go 5.
You won't go 5.5.
I won't go 5.5.
You won't go. They end the game at halftime in game 5.
The one thing I was surprised about when looking this up, dude, the Warriors are only shooting like 33% from three for the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
They don't have, I mean, well, without Steph, they don't have many 3-point shooters, really.
I mean,
they play like Durant and Clay, and that's it.
Yeah.
Quinn Cook.
Yeah. Has he even played? I guess he did play it when Curry wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I guess.
But they don't have like that much other spacing.
Yeah, they generate spacing because they put three transcendent shooters out there. Which is kind of like.
Yeah, now they only have two transcendent shooters. Yeah. So.
But I think even during the season, they were at like 39%. I guess Steph brings that up.
They were. I have this up. Where are they? They were what? Yeah, they were 39.1% from three for the full season.
Come on, you don't think I know that?
Yeah, but still, that's like a 7% or 6% drop off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like that's probably gonna progress back to the mean.
Yeah, I mean, Houston hasn't shot great either, but they're not like a super.
No,
high.
they're actually pretty on par for what they shot in the regular season.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say because they were like 26 on like spot up catch and shoot threes this year, but it's just they take a fuck ton of them. So like, the math. I don't know. I still have my doubts about like PJ Tucker and Luke Richard and Bamute. They're not really shooters. They're guys who, if you give them time to set up, if you don't close out on them after you send a double team, they're going to hit a shot from the corner. But like, even though they shot like what 35-36% from three each, do we really value them as like these knockdown shooters that like you can't leave? Like
no.
I don't.
Yeah, I no. I mean, like I said, they'll hit an open three if they get one here and there.
If they have time. It's not like they're even moving shooters either. Yeah. They're standstill like.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm probably going to pick the Warriors. I'm probably going to get Warriors in six, but that's because I like, I don't know. That's just that's usually when.
That's just the easiest pick, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They're going to win it at home, game six.
Yeah.
I'm going to five with Mark.
I almost don't want to do it, but. It seems so obvious.
Yeah, that's where I was like, I don't want to pick Warriors in six because just picking the team you think is going to win in six is like the easiest thing to do.
Especially when six, they're going to be at home. So
yeah, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm going to pick Warriors in six. Yeah. But I'm not going to be surprised if it's in five.
Mm-hmm.
Not, but I don't know. I think it's the classic, people got to talk themselves into the upset because there's nothing else. What else are you going to do? Like, I don't know.
I talked myself into Cavs in seven over the Raptors. Like, I was like, this is going to be a damn good series.
Yeah,
and it wasn't.
I was going to pick, I mean, we didn't record one for that round, but I would have probably picked like Cavs. I would probably pick Cavs in seven too, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I fell for it again. I believed in the Raptors just a little bit. And then,
I was not in that boat. I would have been so wrong about the Philly Boston series, though.
Oh yeah,
same.
I had Sixers in six.
Yeah, I would have probably picked. I might have gone Sixers in seven, but still, that's not really much better.
Guys, yeah. I definitely would have had Cavs in five or Cavs in four and Celtics in five. Just so you know, just if you're keeping track at home.
I'm honestly not too. Not
I went
too,
four for four.
Honestly, not too sad we didn't get a pod picking this last series because
yeah,
we would probably kind of
bad.
They were bad.
Also the series were just bad,
none of these series were like interesting at all. Like,
ooh, I think
they felt over three games in, except maybe the Houston series.
Oh, yeah.
But then once Houston won game four, I was like, well, that's over too.
Well, I think the problem was like Toronto played Cleveland close twice, and the Sixers played the Celtics real close three times. And every time that happened, like, the Celtics and the Cavs won. Like, these 50-50 games.
Yeah, they just went. Yeah.
Yeah.
If that, like, if Jonas Valanciunas doesn't blow, like, four tip-ins in a row, like, at the end of that game, and they win that game one, then that series is probably a lot more interesting. But as soon as Valanciunas missed, as soon as he missed that tip-in, I was like, this series is over. As soon as they lost that game one, I was like, it's done. They're not winning again. They're not going to win this series.
I don't know if that series would have been more interesting, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I'm with Mark on this one. I feel like the Boston Sixers series was the one where it's like, Philly made so many key mistakes, and most of those games were tight that I could have, like, I feel like this is like the best case scenario for Boston winning. I feel like this could have been anywhere from Boston in five to like Philly in five. But this was like the one time it played out where Boston wins it in five, you know?
Boston just out-executed them at the end of the game.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, just...
Bradley is the best coach in the league.
Yeah, the Sixers just like had some bad turnovers and just bad plays at the end of games because they could have easily won two or three of the games they lost. Even game five, they should have won probably.
So I want to talk about Brad Stevens for a minute.
Okay.
I get he's pretty unilaterally recognized as like the best coach in the league. And I'm not even really gonna push back on that. But my question is like, would we be having the same conversations about him if he was let's say he coached Portland? Like, I don't think he would have been able I don't think it was possible to do anything to have Portland beat the Pelicans this year. There's nothing he could have done to stop them from getting beat by Golden State the 2 years prior. Like, are we still talking about him the same way? If he's in the West and he's just getting with a more limited team and just getting blown out every year in the playoffs.
That's a very good point.
Why can he not beat the Pelicans?
I mean, they just didn't have the manpower. Who are you going to put on Anthony Davis to stop him from going for 35 and 15 every night?
Well, I don't know. That's why Brad Stevens is the best coach in the league.
No.
He doesn't get swept by the Pelicans, though.
I think he does. Terry Stoss is a very good coach.
I don't know. I have a hard time, like, being like, well, I think this coach is overrated because he's in a good situation. I just never like doing, even with players, I don't really like doing that too much. I don't know. I'm not going to blame Brad Stevens for like, I don't know, like optimizing the lineup he currently has. Like, and he wouldn't necessarily be able to deal with some other trash lineup. Like, I don't know. I'm not gonna hold that against him.
I think he's like the best coach in the league because like the mismatches they draw, the outside or after timeout plays, the baseline out of bound plays, like everything like that is so perfect.
Like, yeah, I think that, you have a really good point though, Mark, in the sense that like it, because of the way the East is set up, he has a good chance to shine and like win series against like teams where he's probably being underrated because like. I feel like, let me put it this way, I feel like the pieces that Boston has are actually pretty underrated right now.
Oh, very much. Yeah, they definitely are. But
like, I listened to one podcast and it's like, oh, Philly clearly had the better talent. I was like, well, I mean, maybe if you think that initially, but if you actually look down the roster, like, you know, Boston has Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, those are two top five picks, and they're just as young as, like, Embiid and Simmons when it comes down to it. So it's like, saying Philly is clearly more talented, I think, is kind of not true in that sense. So, like, I feel like he has a lot to work with the Boston roster, and being in the East helps because you have, like, you have the chance, I feel like, where there aren't, like, truly the elite teams you see in the West.
See, I think Philly probably has the higher peak. Like, their high-end talent is better than Boston's, but Boston has, like, I think a higher median talent level, if I mean. Like, they're just deeper.
Definitely.
But I do think that there is the thing where Brad Stevens just has the opportunity to beat teams because pretty much every team in the East is, like...
They're beatable.
They're all beatable. Yeah.
But
I don't know. But, I can't hold that against them. I don't know.
But look at, like, look at the players that were at Boston and then left. Like... Avery Bradley, like Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, like they're so much better in Boston. So can you really blame people for
two of
like
them
over underrating his players?
I mean, all right. So to be fair, yes, definitely maximized Avery Bradley, definitely maximized Isaiah Thomas. But Isaiah Thomas got hurt this year, and I don't think anyone was expecting to be the same player. Jay Crowder got hurt this year. Yeah. Avery Bradley got hurt this year. Like,
and Crowder was declining in his last year in Boston as well.
Like, he came
his
down.
Level of quality of play was definitely lower than it had been at his peak. But, I mean, definitely he gets the most out of his players. But, like, I think that's fair to say for those guys. But, like, Tatum and Brown are high-end talent that were drafted incredibly high by Boston. So, like,
but would they be the same as they are, like, if they got drafted by someone else? Like, if they went to the Kings?
Well, of course not. Be, like, I mean, really they're given the ability to succeed because they're surrounded by veteran players that are good, too. Like, like Horford is one of the best centers in the league, you know? Like, and Stevens is the best coach in the league. Like, you know, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, sure, like, you put him on a, I don't know, what team out west would be appropriate. I don't know, even the, like, I guess Portland, let's say Portland. I think they'll probably win. They're not going to get swept by the Pelicans, but I still feel like, given their roster limitations, like, I feel like it's going to be tough for them to win that series.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's my point about the Raptors too. It's like people are like up in arms about the Raptors losing to Cleveland. I'm like, if you put Brad Stevens on the Raptors, I'm not sure they can win that series.
They probably lose in 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I think they could get 6. I think you could probably win 2 games, but like, I don't know. That's the thing about the Raptors is like, I understand why they got rid of them because you got to try something else. But I just feel like with the roster that they have, they're pretty much capped out. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem with the Raptors is like. Yes, the Raptors have, like, 2 great guards doing some really great things. But let's look at the Celtics real quick. Marcus Morris is probably, what, their 5th best player? He'd probably be the 3rd best player on the Raptors, right?
Yeah, the Raptors really have a pretty decent, like, fall-off after their top 2 players. I mean, like, Serge Ibaka's fine. But
no, Serge Ibaka is bad.
Yeah, he's not. He was not good in this series.
He was almost unplayable, right?
Yeah, he was not good in this series. But then, like, Valanciunas was, like... All right, but
he's all right.
OG their 3rd best player. Defense. Serious question.
It's Valanciunas.
Yeah, it's Valanciunas. Okay.
No, all right. So I went on a pretty deep dive in Raptors Twitter during the series, and apparently Ibaka being overrated has been a thing they have harped on all season. They're like, he has terrible defensive positioning. He can no longer switch on the perimeter. Like, he takes these straight line drives. He has very little chance at. He's a bad passer and an average shooter. So like, I don't really think Serge Ibaka is that good.
Yeah, he probably is a little overrated, but
like I'd take Marcus Morris to play the 4 over Serge Ibaka in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but more to the story though. Their 3rd best player is probably Jonas Valanciunas, and
yeah,
that's not really a great thing.
No, that's a very bad thing.
And honestly, for the Raptors too, this series is like, I don't blame this series on like Kyle Lowry at all. Like, I know that's usually everybody's go-to thing, but Kyle Lowry was like actually pretty good in this series.
Yeah, besides first three games at least, but yeah, still like, I'm not going to say he had a bad series because
I mean,
had game
four they kind of gave up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I would be like, he had a singular bad game in the series. It should be a referendum on like the entire series.
Yeah, but, like, I think this series is way more on DeMar than it is Kyle Lowry, but I don't know. That's, people don't like to blame DeMar DeRozan for stuff for some, or as much as Kyle Lowry. I don't know.
Well, it's good. I don't know if I really blame anyone because I just don't think that team was.
I mean, I don't think they're good enough to beat them either. But I mean,
the Cavs won two close games because LeBron was awesome. I don't think there's anything the Raptors could have done. Like maybe on that shot, you could have had like some help defense come over to assist them. But I feel like playing them one-on-one might have been their best bet. And like he made an incredibly difficult shot. That's like you kind of just throw up your hands. Like, well, what can you do when he does that? Like, he's the best player in the world. Like, and I don't know how you stop that.
And OG Anunoby actually played pretty good defense on that play, too.
I think the problem is they switched OG off LeBron so much. Like,
they should have had OG play more minutes. Uh-huh. I think the one that you could criticize would be some of Casey's lineups didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, sure, you change that up, you might win a game or two. You're not going to beat them. So, like, I guess that's kind of my thing is, like, even with a better coach, I feel like they're kind of capped out right now. So, I mean, it depends on what LeBron does in the offseason if he stays at East. I feel like if he leaves the East, like, they could maybe win the East.
No,
like,
they couldn't. No, they couldn't. The Celtics would murder them.
Yeah, the Celtics next year with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
A healthy Boston, it's going to – yeah, that's –
the Sixers. Sixers get Paul George.
If that's the case, actually, yeah. The Sixers.
Yeah,
they'll definitely be in contention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Assuming everyone's still healthy, that'd just be better.
The Wizards with Boogie?
Dude, they kind of need to blow up the Wizards because apparently everyone hates each other on that team. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I hate the Wizards, man. I hate the Wizards.
The Wizards are just the best.
That's why they need to bring in Boogie. Boogie massage some egos. He's easy to get along
Great
with.
Great locker room guy. Great locker room guy.
Team player.
Gets along with everyone.
Yeah. No, well, but Mark, him and John Wall went to college together. Don't you remember? That clearly means they're going to be best friends.
They played together.
Everything's going to be fixed.
9 years ago. That's all that matters.
For one season.
They played 1,000 minutes together 9 years ago.
Yeah. That's all they need.
Because people have been throwing out this like theoretical sign and trade of Boogie for Otto Porter Jr. I assume everyone's seen it at least like once, but like I don't know, I don't think that really works, at least for like the Wizards. They're so short on the wing already. Do we want to move Kelly Oubre into the starting lineup and then have who? I get, did they move Satoransky to the backup three?
I like that for the Pelicans though.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, they would have to bring in another like wing to come off the bench because
and they have no assets to do it, and they'll have $60 million tied up in centers. Is that how you win basketball games? Is with $60 million dollars tied over 30
Whoa.
Centers?
Boogie's a point guard, dude.
That is true. I can't remember.
Damn, point Boogie. But anyway, back to the Raptors. Do we want to talk about Dwayne Casey being fired then?
I
don't really get it, honestly. I don't really see the point in it. I mean, I see why, but I don't know. I just don't think it does anything. Like, I don't think, no matter who they get into coach, like, I don't think, what, they want Mike Budenholzer? I don't know. Yeah. Is Mike Budenholzer really gonna make that team? Like,
I think they needed to make a change.
You can't just run it back.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You can't just run it back. It was either going to be like they're going to try to trade Lowry or DeRozan or something, or you just get rid of the coach if you think you're like good enough that you can actually win. So you're like, well, let's just get rid of the coach and then run it back. And then at least the fans will be like, okay, well, we made a change.
You got to change something. Because
if you just ran it back with the same coach, the same guys, I don't know. I don't think it's going
to
work.
I get that they wanted to make a change and you can fire your coach way before you can trade one of your players in the offseason. I get that.
Exactly.
That's a thing, but I don't know. I just don't really see how they're – I don't know. I just don't really see how what coach they're going to get that's going to be better than what Dwayne Casey was.
Well,
I don't know.
I think the new coach is kind of looking forward to the next generation of Raptors basketball. Because do we think the scores gonna be all together in 3 years? I don't.
No, I think I think they should try. I think they should try and trade some people this offseason. But
I think those contracts are pretty much for the next two seasons, from what I was looking into.
I mean, they really can't do anything.
They're kind of stuck
outside of trying to trade people for the next couple years.
None of their big guys have like that much value, though.
Yeah,
I think that's
the can you get positive value for like DeMar or Kyle? I don't know. Maybe you can get like equal value for them.
Maybe
now.
DeMar. I don't think you can get it for Lowry.
Yeah, Lowry's older.
Given his age.
Yeah. And Lowry's contract's pretty crazy too.
It's only 2 more years.
That's true, but it's like he makes like $30 million each year or something like that.
Well, I don't know. If you went to the Nuggets and you just said, hey, give us, like, you're obviously not going to get Jamal Murray back or anything like that, but you're like, hey, give us, like, Wilson Chandler and Darrell Arthur and, like, a young piece. Like, you get that, but I don't think that makes you better.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a bigger question. Do you guys think they should try to blow up this team? Or you think they could? I feel like my perspective is kind of like, let's wait and see what LeBron does. If LeBron stays at East or goes to the Sixers or something, like, I don't see why you wouldn't blow up this team.
Yeah, I don't know. Even the Celtics are so much better than them now. Yeah. Like, I don't think they have a chance to win it next year unless they get injured again.
When they're healthy,
even without LeBron.
Am I the only one who thinks they shouldn't blow up this team?
I don't think they really should either. Yeah.
I don't think they should. I don't think they have any chance to win it, but, like, I don't really see the benefit of blowing it up, so I wouldn't.
I see the allure of blowing it up, but at the same time, I feel like it's perfectly fine to win 50-some games every single year and be good and make the playoffs.
Go to the second round
and lose. Like, I don't know. I don't like that whole, like, we're either got to win a championship or we got to be tanking kind of mentality. Like, if we're not a championship contender, we have to get rid of everybody. Like, I hate that kind of thinking, because just being a good team is perfectly fine. Like, I don't know. I don't see no problem with that. Like, I don't know. People always like to be like, oh, there's no way this team can win a championship, even though they win 50 plus games every year and make it to the second, maybe conference finals every year. But let's blow it up. Like, I don't really care for that.
Because if that's the logic, 23 teams should blow it up every year.
Exactly. Yeah. Over 2/3 of the league should be tanking every single
year.
Yeah. But, like, I guess
because they all know he's going to win.
Yeah. This is the best team in Raptors history. And also, they're not a super desirable free agent destination. Like, teams like the Lakers and Celtics, yes, should always be rebuilding or in title mode because they can always entice high level free agents to, like, their teams. But, like, Toronto. What big free agent are you yet to come to Toronto? I get it's like a super nice city, but like
it's cold. It's changing the country.
It's cold. It's in Canada. You have to switch countries. You have to get paid a monopoly money. Like,
I think that's the official currency, right?
Yeah. It's blue, for Christ's sake. I'm actually not even sure about that one. Don't quote me on that.
I think it's different colors. Actually, yeah.
They have like kids ice skating on like their $20 bill or some shit. Like, no one's going there.
Yeah.
They're all just pictures of Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
And so it's like our dollars, except they're blue and they have pictures of Wayne Gretzky. It's the only difference.
No, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, they're not going to really be a big time free agent destination. And I don't know. Just being a good team is perfectly fine for them. So.
Also, they don't have a good, like, young core, really. Like, they have a bunch of good young guys, but, like, they don't have, like, one guy you could be like, oh, this is going to be, like, the one or two guys for the future.
Blowing it up, though. That's kind of my point.
I don't think you can get that from really blowing it up. Like, even if
even if they do blow it up.
They'll be, like, good enough where they're, like, they're not going to get, like, a top five pick. They're not going to be able to trade for a guy, like, you know, like, if the Pelicans decide to blow it up, they could get someone, like, probably really young and really good. Like, that would be an option. Yeah, like, something like that. But, like, the Raptors aren't going to be able to get that for DeMar or Kyle Lowry. So
you're right, because
it's fine. I think it's fine just doing what they are. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I just wanted to throw that out there because I've seen some talk on Twitter and the internet saying they should blow it up, and I agree. Like, I feel like you got to – I think the coaching change makes sense. I don't think – Casey's made some mistakes, but I don't think Casey's a bad coach. I mean, he's going to win Coach of the Year this year, and I don't think that's entirely undeserved. I personally wouldn't have picked him, but, like, what he did with this team in the regular season was very impressive. But I feel like what they really need to do is try to get someone who can make the game adjustments and the minute-to-minute adjustments mm-hmm. that and the lineup adjustments that you see someone like a Brad Stevens does. So I feel like I don't even know who they would hire. I feel like they should maybe even go after a younger unknown guy. But I always say like this mythical coach is going to come out of nowhere. But
yeah, the next Brad Stevens isn't always just chilling there. That's not a
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But, I wouldn't be against them. Like if I was them, I would see like what people would be willing to offer me for DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry or a couple people. Like I wouldn't be against like feeling it out, but I wouldn't be in a hurry to blow everything up. Is basically where I am. Like
no,
I wouldn't be like we have to do it now. Like if you get an offer where you're like okay, we're definitely getting positive value for one of these guys, one of our main
I don't
players,
think they can. That's my point.
I know, but I'm saying in this theoretical situation in which they
no, yeah.
some team randomly offers them something they view as positive value, then I think they should take it. But I wouldn't be in a big rush to do it. Also, somebody's TV loud because I can kind of hear it. Somebody watching TV or something? Because I hear somebody's
Mark.
TV. Hashtag couldn't be me.
I was like hearing sirens Classic. And stuff. What are you doing?
Me? I have the office on like 5 out of 100 volume. I just forgot to turn it down all the way and I'm not near my TV.
I've been like off and on hearing like some background noise from somebody. But
We're good.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because it would be kind of annoying if there was just a constant.
Yeah.
Constant
what do you want to transition this into Eastern Conference Finals picks?
Well, yeah. I guess, I want to say, who do you got? Do you think Dwayne Casey, like, I kind of think Milwaukee should maybe take a look at him, but is there anything else?
They're interviewing
think?
Everyone, so they might want to interview him, too.
Yeah, that is
they're
true.
Taking their good damn time while all these other coaching jobs are getting filled. I'm just kind of pissing me off at this
yeah.
point.
So I actually wouldn't be too mad, because it's not like a bunch of
Big names are taken.
No, yeah, I mean, I get it. And this is a huge hire. This is probably the biggest. This is a huge decision for them. So they got to make sure they get the right person.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I don't know. I don't think – I've never heard of the dude who the Hawks hired, the Sixers assistant.
Yeah.
I can't –
never heard of, like, half the dude.
His name's Lloyd. His last name's Lloyd or something like that. I can't remember his exact name. Mm-hmm. Or, but, yeah, I never really heard of him. I never really – heard of that Borrega dude that
he was
Hornets...
the interim coach for the Magic.
Yeah, I like heard his name before, but I don't really know too much about him.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know, if I'm like Milwaukee, it's not like all these coaching jobs are getting, all these coaches that they want are getting snatched up.
Yeah, well, I guess the hard part for everyone who like follows basketball is you don't know what every assistant coach is like doing
how,
per se.
Yeah, how responsible like, they are, like how much responsibility yeah, they're
because Nick
games.
Nurse was credited with the Raptors offensive change and Chris Finch was credited with the Pelicans offensive change and neither of them have gotten any interviews.
I saw something about Nick Nurse the other day.
He was being interest somewhere, but I don't think he actually like got booked for an interview.
Yeah. I want to say
that's a shame.
Oh yeah, I saw that maybe it was the Raptors one. I don't know. The Raptors, now we're looking at him or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But do you guys think Dwayne Casey will probably get a job this offseason? Or
it might be a year.
Yeah, yeah
it might
he'll, be probably, a year. He'll definitely
I think
get,
he'll get a
one,
job.
I think.
He'll definitely get – I think he's a good – I think he's a pretty good coach, yeah.
I agree with what Marshall said. Like, Dwayne Casey's a great coach, like a 10,000-foot view. Like, this is how we're going to play this year. We're going to drill everything down. We're going to get complete buy-in from our players. But he's not the best, like – minute-to-minute, game-to-game adjuster, which is really...
That matters in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It
raises your floor, but I think it also kind of hurts your ceiling. Mm-hmm. I hate to compare him to Scott Brooks because I think Dwayne Casey's a really good coach. I think Scott Brooks is a pretty terrible coach. But he's kind of like a rich version of Scott Brooks where, like, you know that he's going to guide your team to the... Like, if your team's a solid team, you know he's probably going to guide them to the playoffs. He's got pretty good player development, but he's not the guy you want coaching a championship-level team.
Yeah, I could definitely see that comparison.
Yeah. I was also going to compare it to Mark Jackson, but I think Mark Jackson tried to avidly hurt the Warriors.
Yeah.
Obviously, dude, the stories you hear about them are so wild. And I still think it's hilarious that they have him do Warriors games because he's just, like, so salty the entire time.
Dude, I had to fight off so many people that were trying to tell me that Steve Kerr stole Mark Jackson's rings.
Yeah.
Dude, base.
Jeff Van Gundy asked Mark Jackson, he's like, did you know Steph Curry could shoot off the dribble threes like this? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, why was he doing it? He's like, I didn't want to set a bad precedent for the rest of the team.
I'm like, what? Like, you think if Steph Curry starts taking these crazy threes, like, Sean Livingston's going to be like, oh, Zaza. Yeah. No, right, so JaVale McGee actually kind of does. But yeah.
My favorite argument I ever heard about that was somebody told me that Steve Kerr just got lucky because all the players on the Warriors just got better when he took over. And I'm like, that's a coincidence. Yeah. You think that's a coincidence? Like, I was heated about it. wow, this is really a coincidence to you that 15 they all got
games,
better?
Yeah, 15 games improvement going from last to first in passes per game, going from, like, last to third in pick set per game, going from third to first in offense, 13 to third in defense in Steve Kerr's first season. I have this all hammered down because I had a few people telling me Steve Kerr was overrated. Nope.
It's a complete coincidence, Mark.
Yeah.
That would have been that was
like
just,
if the Bucks going just... like third in the East and they win like 20 more games. Like, oh, Giannis just all got better at the same time.
Yes.
Dude. Coaching had nothing to do with it.
It was the natural progression of the Warriors. This is just, they were just going to become this no matter what.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait. Also, speaking of stupid shit, can we talk about something I saw the other day on Twitter?
Sure.
It was Andre Drummond shooting threes.
Oh, I saw this.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, how do people not fucking realize that every NBA player can shoot a standstill three? Like, do you guys remember JaVale McGee?
There's, like, videos of Steven Adams, like, draining, like, eight threes in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, turns out NBA players can shoot.
Do you guys remember JaVale McGee playing, like, that Utah Summer League last year?
He
dropped,
killing.
Like, 40 in a game. He hit, like, three pull-up threes. He, like, went between his legs into a step-back, like, deep two and drained it. Like, these guys can do way more than what you see them do in games. It's just, like...
They're not particularly great at it, so...
Yeah.
But also, like, you just don't want them doing that. Like, Andre Drummond, you want him being inside rebounding. You don't want him standing at the three-point line.
Yeah,
that's not his role, yeah.
It's like when Steph hit, like, 93 of 100 threes in practice, and everyone's freaking out about it, and Klay Thompson was like, well, he's normally at, like, 80 or so. And, like, that got no attention. But, like, Sam Hinkie was talking the one time about Luke Richard and Bonmute. He's like, he's one of those guys, we have, like, parameters in practice where if, like, you shoot this well in practice, you should shoot this well in a game. He's like, based on where he was like hitting threes, I think it was like 65% or something crazy like that. Just like standstill catch and shoots in practice. He's like, he should have been like a 36% 3-point shooter. And I'm like, okay. So you're basically having what you shoot in practice and you can shoot that in a game. Like,
yeah.
Sounds reasonable.
No, yeah. But Andre Drummond, watch out, Mark. He's going to be a knockdown 3-point shooter next year.
Yeah. The Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond pick and pop.
Oh.
The Pistons are so screwed, dude.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a fine trade.
Yeah, I mean,
what else were they going to do?
I don't think they should have not done it. But I don't, like, they're never going to get a player as good as Blake Griffin to go there in free agency. Yeah. Like they would have had to draft somebody that good. And
yeah. So either they tank or they make this trade and aim for like the sixth seed.
What was their record after they got him? Do you guys know?
I'd be
curious to look that up.
It wasn't great, but Reggie Jackson was hurt. Yeah, and he's kind of their third best player.
Yeah, I think that'll be a playoff team next year.
Which, yeah, they really should be.
Yeah. I don't know, but so we're all picking the Warriors in five or six.
Yeah.
Just to close
it out. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals stuff now? Since now that we went on this random tangent about
how that started, it started with Brad Stevens. And we just started
then we went into the Raptors,
the coaches.
But I don't know. What do we think of this Eastern Conference Finals matchup?
Cavs in five.
Wow.
I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I mean, the Marcus Morris numbers are cute. Yes, I will agree with you. They're real cute, and they look real nice when you tweet them out on Twitter. You probably feel real smart when you're typing those into your keyboard. But if you're going to tell me that Marcus Morris is going to hold LeBron to like 25 points a game, then we're watching two different sports.
I don't think that's going to be their plan, though. I think they're going to – I think Boston's really going to try to lock down Love.
That's fine, but LeBron still gets score 45 a night.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to try and do the like Warrior strategy of a couple years ago where they're like, we're just going to let LeBron try and score like 100 points and make sure nobody else does anything.
No, but the Warriors didn't even do that. They doubled LeBron a shit ton because they had Tristan Thompson, Timothy Mozgov just clogging up the paint. So you could play one-on-two there and send doubles at LeBron. You can't guard LeBron one-on-one. Kawhi Leonard can sort of do it. Jimmy Butler can sort of do it.
Kevin Durant actually can't even do it. LeBron fucking roasted Kevin Durant in last year's finals. LeBron shot like 50-40-90 and averaged like 35 points a game. Like, are you telling me that Marcus Morris is better at defending LeBron than Kevin Durant?
Prove he's not.
I will. And this isn't even knock on Marcus Morris.
Let's put Horford on LeBron. I feel like they might.
Horford hasn't played that well against LeBron, though.
Okay, so we.
Yeah.
Horford's so notorious. Gets pooped on by the Cavs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Al Horford, like, terrified of Tristan Thompson?
Yes.
He, like, goes to sleep and sees Tristan Thompson's nightmares. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, Al Horford gets destroyed by Tristan Thompson. It's like every year.
Yeah, that's how they got Aaron Baines, dude.
It's freaking Aaron Baines.
Dude, Baines. Even Al Horford's last year on the Hawks, they put Tristan Thompson on Paul Millsap and Kevin Love on Al Horford, and Al Horford didn't particularly hurt them that much. Granny's on a much better team and, like, a better system, and he's probably a better player now than he was a couple years ago, but, like, I don't know. Also, putting him on LeBron is a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't particularly care for that idea at all. But
I mean, it's not like the Celtics have a bunch of guys they could throw at LeBron. So I guess it's like, I mean, obviously they don't have anyone that can guard him, but like they got probably like four guys that they could at least throw at LeBron, and like it won't be like a complete
disaster.
This isn't running back by committee though. You can't be like Jaylen Brown's gonna guard LeBron when he shoots. Marcus Morris is going to guard my post up. Jason Tatum's going to guard my. You don't know what LeBron's going to do, and you still have to put someone on him on every possession. It's still a giant mismatch.
Yeah. But, oh, I know. I don't know. Like you said, though, Mark, there's like two people in the entire world that can kind of effectively guard LeBron. And it's not really like, I don't know. It's not really like anybody has anybody that can guard LeBron. Like LeBron's going to go for like 39-9 for every series in the playoffs, no matter what.
Yeah, no matter who's
guarding
on them. Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter. So I don't know.
They're gonna try to limit the rest of the team.
I think you just have to try and limit everybody else.
Give them 40 points a game.
Yeah, because like I just think LeBron's gonna go for 35 plus no matter what you do to him. So you just got to try and limit everybody else from beating you. Because I don't know. I just think there's not much with them.
I think that's the main issue for me because
The Cavs defense is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, if they can score with them, I don't see how you think it's gonna be five though. I feel like this is gonna be a long series. I'm gonna say Cavs in seven.
I go six.
I'm with Mark. I go five.
Boom.
I think this could be a close. Like, I think there could be close
games. Like, five close games, yeah.
Yeah,
I
can see it. The Celtics have played a ton of close games in the playoffs, and they've just, like, out-executed teams down the stretch. But the Cavs have LeBron, and I don't think that's going to happen this series. And I just think the Cavs are just going to win, like, two or three close games, and then it's gonna be over in five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it being over in five. But I do think it's going to be a little closer than – I don't think it's going to be a Raptors situation, but
– Oh, no, absolutely not. I think the games would be pretty close, but I think you have to favor the Cavs
probably
70-30 in every close game, regardless of how good a coach Brad Stevens is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron factor.
Because LeBron has been ridiculous in the stretch this year. At the end of games.
Yeah. That's what I was – dude, when he hit that game winner against Toronto, I really, like, said it before. I was like, there's, like, a 0% chance LeBron's not hitting a game winner.
Yeah.
Right? Dude, remember when the narrative was LeBron doesn't have the clutch gene, like –
Yeah,
like
those were the days.
Years ago, whatever he lost to the Mavericks and – I was rewatching some of those old first take videos and just like Skip like saying all that shit is just so it's like so laughable now because like
everything Skip Bayless still currently says is laughable. that was laughable in the moment still too.
He was like, oh, that would have been clutch if he meant to put it off the glass. Yeah.
That was elite level Skip Baylessing. Be like, that would have been clutch if he meant to bank it, but he didn't. Like,
yeah.
All right, and then, Skip. And then whenever LeBron like cramped up and he couldn't play, he was like, "Who needs LeBron?" And I was like, "Your entire career needs LeBron."
Yeah, dude, it's just a total lack of like self awareness from Skip Bayless. He's like, "Am I doing something wrong by giving LeBron no credit on everything he does?" He's like, "No, I just," but like. Yeah, I guess the kind of thing is, I don't know. LeBron, like, wasn't a great shooter early in his career, which I think led to him driving more, led to automatic doubles being sent at him, and then him passing to open shooters, which is the right play. But now that he has, like, a dependable jumper for probably since what is, like, he wasn't great shooting his first year with the Cavs. His last 2 years in Miami, he was real good.
Yeah.
In these last 3 years.
Yeah, he got better in Miami.
Yeah.
What's like that 1 year, like 2012 or something, when he shot like 58% or something?
For and like 40 games. And like 40% from three on the season.
Yeah.
But he's only taking like wide open.
Yeah.
But still. Was,
But even since that, he's gone better too. He's like, he continues to improve. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm kind of hesitant to say this is the best LeBron we've ever seen, because I do think peak Miami LeBron was a little bit better on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like offensively, I don't think, I think this is the best he's ever been.
This is this yeah, this is the peak for his offense. I agree with that.
Yeah.
People, I don't know if he can keep it up, but
people like to, that probably is true, but people like to get caught up more in the numbers when like, but if you look at like the pace compared to then, it's like ridiculous. So it's like he just has way more possessions, so he just puts up a lot more numbers.
Golden State changed the league as far as like how teams
that's
play.
Right. I think people get a little bit carried away with like, this is the greatest offensive LeBron ever because he's averaging these numbers. And it's like, oh, well, it's just because he has a lot more opportunity.
I don't think it's the numbers necessarily. But, it's just his confidence shooting the
ball. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with that. But
oh, yeah.
He's hit more threes from like 30 feet, or I think it's like, what, 5 feet behind three or deeper than Steph Curry's hit any season of his career. That is insanity.
Wow. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, 538 had a piece on it. He's shooting like 50% on them, too. On like inside half court, like not a heave, but like an intentional deep three. He's hitting like half of them.
That's ridiculous.
And I think that's the difference, because he's always been a great passer. I think he has actually gotten a little better at passing.
Like probably. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I feel like that's something that kind of, as you get, as you get later into your career, you just kind of read stuff a little bit better and know how to pass and how to make certain passes a little bit better. But
yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. So we're all picking the Cavs then. So we got Cavs Warriors round four then in the final.
Yeah,
and then a Warriors sweep.
Classic. Probably. It's nice how we actually have the real NBA finals on, like this round, and then we have a nice like third place bracket. every other game,
the Warriors play the winner of the losers bracket in the finals.
Yeah, that's basically so what
Mark
it is.
Mark and I have Warriors in five. You guys have them in six, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Also, like, I get there's a decent chance Cleveland won't end up on the Rocket side of the bracket because, like, the Cavs weren't, like, the one seed out east or the third best team in the regular season. But getting a Rockets-Cleveland series, like,
that would be interesting. That would be so cool. Dope.
Yeah, if they had just done 1 through 16 seeding.
Yeah. If we could have got Rockets-Cavs, like, play the Warriors, like...
Yeah, what would that have, actually looked like?
I think you could probably find it somewhere.
The Rockets would have been the one seed, obviously, but then the Raptors would have been the two seed.
And the Warriors would have been the three seed.
Three, yeah,
dude. Raptors, Warriors. Let's.
Then the Sixers would have been four, and the Cavs would have been five.
Yes, yeah, so we would have got Sixers, Cavs, and the winner of that would have played the Rockets, which would have been the Cavs.
Yeah,
the Cavs.
Like, yeah, it just would have been so much better.
Yeah, that would have been, but I don't know if that's ever that 1 through 16 best teams, no matter what.
Oh, you guys forgot about Boston.
Wait, yeah. Never mind.
I skipped completely over them when I looked at the...
Celtics would have been three or four.
Celtics would have been three.
Then Warriors
Golden
four.
State would have been four. So we still would have gone Golden State, Houston.
Golden State would be three.
Yeah.
Boston would
Celtics would be four.
So we would have got, like, second round of the playoffs. Warriors, Cavs, and then finals, Rockets.
Damn it. I just want to see the Rockets play the Cavs.
I know.
Although I feel like you could say, like, if it was like that, the Cavs would have been – LeBron would have been playing differently in the regular season too. But I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to kind of say.
Yeah, you might have been pushing
actually,
more for
would he? Would he have? Because, like, the whole thing with LeBron is – or the Cavs is you kind of want to end up on the opposite side of the bracket as the Warriors. But you don't really know where the Warriors are going to end up because they weren't the number one seed.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. There would have been a lot more jockeying for.
Yeah, that would be so interesting.
Which would have been really fun.
It would make it so much more interesting at that end of the regular season because teams would be trying to jockey for position a little bit more, be where they want to be.
Yeah.
Be on the right side of the bracket. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I wish they would do that, but. The owners of the Eastern Conference teams will never let it happen. So.
Yeah, because everyone's
right now.
Yeah, Everyone's like, in 5 years, like, look at how good the Sixers and the Celtics are going to be. And, like, the East is going to be better than the West. And, like, we're still going to have, like, a late prime Warriors who's going to be, like, a better version of Boston's big three. Like, we still have, as of right now, we have, like, 13 of the best 15 players in the West.
Yep.
Or maybe, that's why they changed the All-Star format up, because it wasn't going to be competitive.
Yeah. But even, like, the young players, I would say it's pretty close to, like, a 50-50 toss-up to who's in each conference. So I don't see where, like...
Yeah, that's true, too. It's, like, it's not really... It's not like the East has way more of abundance of, like, young prospects, too.
No.
Yeah, I don't actually... It could change, but it's mostly just because, like, the franchise in the East are worse.
Well, it's because the like, owners the Magic are
just
the
have... Yeah, the Magic yeah, have the a ton of high picks, but just keep blowing it every year.
Yeah. You have, like, the Knicks... You have, like, the Magic. Yeah, you have just, like, some horribly run franchise in the East. Yeah. Oh, God.
The Nets are well run now.
The Nets not having any young prospects is only because they haven't had any picks to take any.
Well, yeah.
It's not really because they botched anything. But, I mean,
that's because they botched one trade, like, 3 years ago, so.
Yeah, but that's...
Damn, that trade is insane. I feel like that trade changed so much.
Oh, that trade, like, changed the whole, like, landscape of, like, a lot of stuff. Like,
well, that trade made what every team afraid to trade away their first round picks unprotected.
Yep.
So it kind of robbed us of a lot of fun stuff.
Probably, yeah. Like, but it did that... give us constantly bashing the Nets for being idiots. But
that was insanity. I remember when it happened. I was like, the Nets are gonna be real good for like the next 3 years, and then I don't know what happens to them. And then they weren't.
And then they were not.
But it was like 1 year, and then
we were like the sixth seed, and we were like talking ourselves into like maybe they can beat the Pacers.
Maybe they can beat the Bulls. I don't know.
Yeah,
in the first round.
Oh wait, interesting question. So Nate Duncan brought this up because
I wanted to ask. This
oh
too.
Yeah, I saw you guys replied to him. This is interesting.
Because LeBron has never played Dwayne Wade in the playoffs.
Oh, the best.
Who's the best player in the East that LeBron has played? And if we make a best, like, five of these players from the East, could they beat the Warriors? We take MVP Derrick Rose, Paul George,
that was my vote.
I forgot
about the Dwight Howard. That might be a...
Yeah, the second part.
He's definitely up there.
Yeah, the second part of the question is something I kind of came up with, because like I was going through like the players, and I was like, they probably couldn't beat the Warriors unless we.
Well, I feel like a lot of them played in like again they played like years ago before the Warriors changed the league with how they shoot it. Like, I just feel like this type of team wouldn't beat the Warriors because the Warriors are the best team of all time. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel
but we're like, taking the five best guys LeBron has played in a 15-year career.
Well, let me put this: if you could handpick like a group of five to like be their starting lineup against the Warriors, I think you could probably. Actually, no, I don't think you could.
Because
five better than the death lineup for the Warriors, which is absolutely insane to think about. Like.
Yeah. But who I don't know, Mark, who did you say? You said Paul George, right?
Yeah, I think
I agree with you, Mark.
MVP Derrick Rose is
overrated. Off the top of my head, that's just what I came up with. I didn't really do too much research into it, but I was like, probably that. Or the Dwight Howard one's good. I kind of forgot about that one because that was like, what was that, like 14 years ago or whatever?
2009, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was 2009. I was like, still like 10 years ago, but
Jesus, we're old, dude. Yeah.
Well, Paul George actually used to be like a decently better player 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think that gets lost a little bit. And he's,
yeah, that does.
And he's the only one who like, Dwight was a great role guy. Dwight was a great thick guy in the offense. But he was the only guy LeBron's played who was the number one defensive wing and like the number one offensive option.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you consider like KG or like Paul Pierce maybe?
Oh, they were so old.
Yeah, KG was old then, but that was actually like a couple people's answers.
I don't know.
That was a couple people's answers to the question I saw, like, scrolling through his replies, but...
Yeah,
maybe,
be
like,
one of the
if
best
you're looking
teams,
at a long-term but... perspective, like, career down as, like, the best player he played against, yeah, it's probably, like, KG, but, I mean, in the moment, I would agree with Mark that when Paul George was in his prime before that injury on those Pacers teams, that he was probably the best player he played against.
Yeah. Because, like, I get Derrick Rose was the MVP, but wasn't Derrick Rose just, like, a slightly less efficient version of Russell Westbrook? And also, like, a slightly 100%. Worse passer?
Yeah, definitely.
We figured out over like a course of the last couple of years that maybe he wasn't as good as like everyone thought he was, even his peak. And he was really good. I don't want to be like he was a schlub, but like
he was a slightly worse Westbrook.
Well, yeah. I mean, his game has aged just very terribly. Like, just the way he played.
Even if he hadn't gotten injured,
Well, not even that way. Like, just the way he played at his peak just wouldn't be as like effective today as it was.
Yeah, let me put it this way: if that Bulls team was playing in the league today, that would be like a sixth seed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, I think that's more what it is as we look back at it as like, oh, well, if this team played today, they wouldn't be as good. But, I mean, like, I probably do agree with you, Mark, that we probably look back on that and then we're like, he wasn't as good as we remember. But
yeah, because I was like, oh, he played MVP Derrick Rose. And then I, like, remembered that Derrick Rose only kind of won the MVP because, like...
They didn't want to give it to LeBron.
Yeah, and people didn't really like Dwight that much or understand how much he was doing for their defense. Or even their offense. Their offense was like, it was like... Jameer Nelson, like Quentin Richardson, Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis, and Dwight. And they had like a top eight.
Did Dwight ever win the MVP?
No.
Okay.
That would have been the year for him to do it.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, what's the closest he's come?
I think he came in second or third that year.
Yeah. Okay. I think he was
Kobe won it that year? Or did LeBron
win? No, it was a Derrick Rose year.
Derrick Rose won it. Okay, and then I think it was Dwight, or it was like Derrick Rose, Dwight, and LeBron were like.
Wait, what about 09 when the Magic made the finals? I feel like that was Kobe. That sounds like Kobe. No, I think that was LeBron.
That was LeBron.
Won it that year. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, probably. I mean, I think he finished top two or three a couple times, but that was kind of as close as Dwight got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody always.
So what would like the starting five be? So we got Rose, we got George,
we got KG, but like late, like 33-year-old KG.
And
we got
Dwight,
and then
who's gonna be the other guard?
Is it Ray Allen or Rip Hamilton? Or
yeah, that's who I was thinking.
I was thinking Ray Allen, yeah.
Or Hamilton's like a good one.
2 point guards. Mm-hmm.
Yo, Victor Oladipo.
Okay, that's actually not a bad look.
That's let's like 5 years from now, we might be saying
However, after this series, the best five LeBron's ever played in the playoffs is probably like Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jason Tatum's in there for sure.
Yeah. Mark, are you finally admitting Jason Tatum's good?
Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely... Yeah. This is definitely a propaganda
thing. We need you on that pod, dude. We should have made him one.
Are you guys still taking Brandon Ingram over Jason Tatum after the playoffs?
No.
Probably not. Honestly.
Mark's not gonna say.
Mark's still on it though.
No, I'm not.
That's all right. To be fair, we did record that podcast while Jason Tatum was like slumping pretty hard. So
yeah.
Mark was really on his like validation of his Jason Tatum take thing.
I've gotten over the whole like I was wrong about Jason Tatum thing like 2 months ago. It was just whenever I got over it, he started slumping, and I was like, "Ooh, I can run a little more mileage out of this."
Oh, the worst!
I know. I've also successfully managed to make Greg the person with the ridiculous take on Jason Tatum for a while there.
Yes, yeah, you successfully turned Greg into the crazy one, even though he was right.
I know.
Well, I didn't even like Jason Tatum that much when they drafted him.
Same.
But you know what? I'm glad I'm
all in
viewed as the guy who was all in on him.
Yeah,
that's totally right.
Yeah, that was like a take you lucked into because you were like reasonable about him. And
yeah, because I was like, he's pretty good. I don't know if he's like that good, and then. You know, I would just view it as the guy who loved him because Dwayne hated him.
I think it was Mark hated him, and I didn't like the pick either at the time, so I was like upset about it. And you're like, it's not that bad. Mark and I were like, no, I hate it.
Yeah. Well, wait, to be fair, even like draft analysts thought it was like a pretty. Because Jason Tatum had showed us none of this at the time.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, so like outside of like Celtics homers, no one thought it was a great pick at the time.
There were a couple draft dudes that were like really high on him, but
I feel like the majority weren't. The guys at the Stepien were like, and that's kind of like my go-to draft site because they literally watch like every game for every prospect and break down like crazy shit like shooting form and like how people play them and like their weak-handedness and a bunch of crazy shit. They were like, he's probably like the eighth best guy in this draft.
I mean, the best argument was just that like. Like, these top picks are just pretty random. And so you're just, like, getting another chance at it next year for the trade in terms of, like, defending the trade. Like, I don't know. Like, because so many of these guys, like,
even like Donovan Mitchell, like people thought he might be good, but he's showing so much more than he did in college. Like you would never watch him in college and be like, oh yeah, he's gonna be like leading a team in the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Donovan,
it's just true. It's so random.
It's like, so Donovan Mitchell had like this really good private workout with the Jazz, so they were super high on him and they wanted him. It's like, so like he had like a good like 1 hour session, so like based on that you're gonna decide to draft him instead of like watching the film from all his time at college where he doesn't show any of this, you know? Like, it's just interesting to think about like how much that affects these GM's decision when they when they think about who they want to draft.
Well, I think the problem is like college is kind of a bad place to like
evaluate talent.
Yeah, because like look at Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was outside of Kevin Pelton's top 100 players as draft model. That's because he played at Cal with like two big men and no other ball handlers. And they're just like, here, Jaylen Brown, go ISO with like a very clogged lane. Whereas like if you put Jaylen Brown in kind of like Justice Winslow's position at Duke the year they won it, or, like he looks real good there, but it's just college basketball is so fit dependent and the offenses are so ugly and it's just kind of hard.
We need the G League.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We just need to abolish the draft because even in the G League, they're not gonna invest a lot of assets in a guy who's gonna be there for 7 months.
Yeah. Oh, interesting question for you guys. Who is the Celtics like crunch time lineup next year with anyone when everyone's healthy?
Kyrie, Jaylen, Hayward, Tatum, Horford.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too.
I can't see how you
probably. That's what I have it as well too. Do you think not they're gonna move Rozier at some point?
They probably got to move either Rozier or Marcus Smart. I don't think they can keep both.
I think you move Rozier because you're probably so high on a guy who might not be much better than like Reggie Jackson or Dennis Schroeder.
Dude, my dad with the insanely hot take when I was talking to him, he was like, I think Boston needs to move Kyrie. He was like, oh, Rozier's younger. Look what he's done. I was like, Dad, he's had a good playoffs. But like, you're talking about Kyrie Irving.
Yo, this
he's
is
only
like when...
2 years older than him.
All right, your dad's also a Louisville fan. So
I know, that's what I was saying.
Take,
yeah,
still.
It was like the insane hot take of the year.
That's like when
he was like, I think the GM really likes him. I think Stevens really likes Rozier. I don't think they trust him over Kyrie. I was like, Dad, you're talking crazy.
This is kind of like whenever people are like, you should trade Kyrie, start Deli at point guard.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. One good series in the playoffs and suddenly you can use them.
that's awesome.
I love your dad.
Yeah. He's a Louisville homer, if nothing else.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there any other happenings around the NBA we want to talk about?
I kind of feel like we should talk about head coaching. We can rank the hires after like everyone's made one, but I kind of don't want to talk about like half the hires until we figure out like.
Yeah, let's see what the Bucks do.
Yeah, but like I said earlier too, I don't really know much about James Borrego or
yeah.
Or who did the Suns hire? Some foreign dude.
Oh, the Croatian
literally never heard of him. So I don't really know how many takes I'm gonna have on that.
I mean, he led them to the Euro Cup,
or Lloyd Pierce at the Hawks. I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
It's hard for me to have takes on like assistant coaches because it's like like Mark was saying before, it's like you don't know how much they're actually responsible for in a game because you're not around. Like, I really think the media probably knows that better because they're around those teams. But like, just as a fan watching the games, like, I have no idea who's responsible.
Yeah, I mean, you don't. Yeah, you don't really know like the inner workings of the coaching staff. So it's kind of
There's some stuff like that's why I grabbed onto guys like Finch and Nick Nurse because like you knew they were the lead assistant and the offensive mastermind. It's kind of why I was real excited when the Lakers hired Luke Walton because Walton's first year he was a second assistant. Gentry was the first. Gentry did the offense. And then year two, Walton was the first assistant, did the offense, and then like was the interim coach when. And like, you saw enough there, but kind of feel like
that was a great hire. Yeah,
that was a unique situation where like you knew exactly what his responsibilities were because Alvin Gentry is very clearly an offensive coach, and Mike Brown is very clearly a defensive coach, and those were the two assistants brought in with him. It's so, like you had a very clear outline of what he did, but whenever there's a whole like assistant coaching staff you know nothing about, it's just hard to evaluate.
Yeah, I just like how literally every Spurs assistant coach on their staff pretty much got interviewed by somebody.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild.
I'm kind of shocked Messina wasn't the first one hired off their staff, because he coached in Europe for like 20 fucking years.
Yeah, he that's has
like
so the, much experience.
Dude. That's yeah. the only one of them that like I've really like heard of mm. a decent bit before.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah, well, he's taken over, dude. When Pop retires,
yeah, that's what he's waiting for.
Yeah,
the long
too bad,
game.
Too bad Becky Hammond's there.
Yeah,
I actually wouldn't be surprised if I get you still a second like assistant this year, but. I wouldn't be surprised if she's being groomed for Pop's takeover.
I really wouldn't be too surprised either.
They've got to groom someone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the youngest on the staff, easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the only thing I know is that the dude who the Hawks hired, that Lloyd Pierce dude, he was with the Sixers for 5 years, so he was there for like the entirety of the process. So yeah. The Hawks are about to have their own process. I feel
dude,
around.
They trust it.
Yo.
They want the process.
Oh, wait, also, can we talk about Brent Brown for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Because people were shitting all over Brent Brown, and, like, they're saying that the Sixers need a new head coach, and he's taking them as far as he can, but I don't really have a problem with Brent Brown. Like, the Sixers' rotation just really isn't that good. Like, they relied post, like, buyout, they relied heavily on guys like Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli. Like, Robert Covington isn't that good. Like, he's a solid probably a better defender than a man defender, which makes him like a little less valuable. He's a real streaky shooter, like, and he's
incredibly streaky. It's
and he's
kind
what,
of wild.
Their fourth best player, their fifth best player, like
third.
I
who's
yeah.
third best player?
I think Dario's the third best player. JJ, Redick, and Covington being your third through fifth best players, like. That's not really a title contender.
Yeah, no. People got way too carried away way too quickly with how good the Sixers are supposed to be.
When they're beating up all those rebuilding teams post-deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And just like, I don't know, like, this team won 28 games last year. Like, I understand they didn't have Simmons or, like, J.J. Redick or anything, but we immediately went from, like, these guys, like, they were, what, their over-under to begin the season was, like, 41.5.
Yeah.
They won 52.
And
right?
I think I took the under on that. Because I just didn't – I took that mostly because I didn't believe that Joel Embiid was going to successfully be healthy for a whole season.
Yeah.
But like, still, we were putting them at, like, a fringe playoff team in the East to start the season.
I had them
they won
playoffs, yeah.
They won 52 games or whatever. And they way overperformed this year.
Yeah, they're way overperformed.
This team was a crazy success this year, and then everybody's, like, all acting like this is, like, a disappointing season. And it's like, what? Like, this team was regularly getting top three picks for the past 5 years, and they just made it to the conference semifinals. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Season one of the Thunder, they lost to the Lakers in six. They were the 8th seed, and I was like, oh, God, we should be afraid of this team. And the Sixers were the 3 seed in their first season being good, made the second round of the playoffs, played probably the team they're matched up worst against. Because, like, most teams don't have a guy you can throw at Simmons, and the Celtics have at least two, maybe three. Guys, you can, like, reasonably expect to, like, slow down Simmons. And he's just not ready for that yet. Like, he's a great player. I don't want to take anything away from him. But
he
has
a clear weakness that a good coach can exploit.
Yeah.
Like, he has great pieces. And that's exactly what Stevens did.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of find it crazy that people were, like, all freaking out. Like, this was some disappointment. They needed to get a new head coach and stuff. And it's like.
And yeah, like I really said, I feel like those games were very close, and it was young players making mistakes. That's like, all right, like, Simmons made a bad decision. I don't know how you can, like, fault the coach for that. It wasn't, like, I don't think it was anything he drew up. It was trusted Simmons to.
Yeah, and this isn't even going to be their team in the future. Yeah. And, like, you're going to probably get a bunch of new guys. I mean, they have a ton of cap space. They could sign, like, a big name, like a Paul George or something.
And
so,
they're clearly two best players. Played a combined total of 31 games in the NBA before this season.
Yeah.
So, like, let's
23 and 21.
Yeah. People like,
it's
oh.
way too early to talk about that. Yeah.
People are like, oh, why didn't he switch out McConnell for, like, Covington sooner? I'm like, if TJ McConnell, the biggest gripe about a coach is a playing time. If TJ fucking McConnell. If you think TJ McConnell is going to flip a 4-1 series the other way, like.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like, people are like, well, the Celtics are young. That's not an excuse for them. It's like, well, they're young, but, like, this is what, Jalen Brown's third season? This is, like, Terry Rozier's been in the league.
Horford's a veteran,
Like, Terry Rozier's even been in the league. Like, well, it's, like, his third or fourth year, isn't it? And it's like, all these guys have been here for a while. It's just, I don't know. It's like I said, the Sixers' two best players played 31 games before this season.
Yeah.
Let's, let's not freak out because they lost 4-1 in the semifinals in their first year of being good. Like, I don't know. That's, I don't get that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just made me mad. Yeah. I wanted to say something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That I. Well, obviously, I had some feelings on that one too. So I'm glad you brought it up. But I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about? We should probably soon here start getting into some draft stuff here sooner or later. Because
yeah.
We're about the lottery's on Tuesday.
Dude, the lottery.
Yeah, we're about like a month. Like 5 weeks out, 5 or 6 weeks out from the draft. It's usually what, like June 20 something.
Yeah,
that week. It's probably like
pretty soon after the finals, right?
Yeah, that's what I spent yesterday doing because I'm down here in the middle. I'm in Anderson, South Carolina, so I'm kind of by some stuff, but there's not much to do. So I've just been watching like a lot of prospect videos, like reading a bunch of shit, just because like no basketball on.
Yeah, last couple of days.
Mark, what's that website you said you like for draft?
It's the called Stepien. The Stepien, yeah.
Stepien, okay.
It's now pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up.
It's similar. It's kind of, they have like a similar kind of thing going on as like Draft Express did the last couple years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I usually check out Draft Express.
But
now it's behind a paywall.
It's behind a paywall at ESPN, so.
Yeah. Something I kind of like about the Stepien, though, is they rank prospects not by like.
In tiers?
Yeah, they do like the tiers thing.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Ooh, too. I do like that.
Yeah, and they give you like a. Peak like offensive defensive role and like what their high outcome in and their low outcome is and stuff. It's actually pretty cool. They give you a lot of stuff. Like for like Luka Doncic, it's like his offensive role is like a lead ball handler. His defensive role is team/awareness defender. And it's like his high outcome is two-way primary initiator and stuff. Like they like give you all this kind of stuff. It's actually pretty cool. They give you pretty long
player
list
comparisons no.
Luka Doncic on a tier one by himself.
Yeah, wow.
They don't really do player comparisons just because they're like, you can find guys. It's like an 80% approximation of like what you think this guy's going to be, but really like no two players are the same. So
yeah,
I think it's kind of like
he's in a tier by himself. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, it's, yeah. They have him in tier one.
Trey Young on tier two. Wow.
Yeah, and Jaren Jackson there. When was that?
This was high.
I know.
Dude, people are real high.
I'm kind of out on Trey Young. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm in on Jaren Jackson, though. I think he doesn't have the highest ceiling of all the bigs, but I think he's the safest of all the bigs.
Yeah. Oh, they got Wendell Carter.
I like Mo Bamba. Where they have Mo Bamba?
Like 11th.
Yeah, 11th.
I do not like Mo Bamba.
He's in tier 4. He's in the same tier as Jonte Porter.
Dude, they're real high on Jonte Porter. The one guy put Jonte Porter above Michael Porter.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, they think Michael Porter has like pretty high bust potential, and Jonte Porter is like a solid rotation big.
Yeah, but isn't Jonte Porter's whole thing is he's like kind of slow footed and not really a rim protector?
Yeah, well, that's also Wendell Carter's thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know. These rankings, they've DeAndre Ayton all the way down to 6th. That's wild. But
we can talk about this more later.
Yeah, definitely. But
I feel like that's all we have to say for the NBA now.
Yeah.
I just want basketball to start again, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. We're recording this on Saturday.
Why did they not have a game today? Does anyone know? I feel like the Western Conference Finals should be starting today.
I was confused.
Like, how do they not have a Saturday game?
Yeah, Saturday night? Are you really going to miss out on that? That seems so dumb to me.
Because it's not like there's anything else tonight, is there?
No, like hockey. Like, I'm not afraid of hockey.
Yeah, they're... Well, that's dumb.
It's like the players like for golf, but that's on during the day. So.
That's not like a. I don't get why there's not a game tonight. I don't know if there's something going on in Oakland, maybe that they can't have it.
No, well, they moved some concert.
They had to move that shit.
Yeah, because they booked it for Game 5. Like, I get they didn't know what days it was gonna fall on, but the concert was booked for Game 5 of Pelicans Warriors. I was like, damn, that's a heat check. They didn't think that series would be 5 games.
Yo.
No, but yeah, I was kind of confused as to why the West playoffs wasn't starting tonight because.
Yeah, I was too.
Because that Saturday. All, both of those series ended.
Yeah, they ended earlier than the East.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. But all right, we done talking about basketball then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got to leave in like 20 minutes, so. But we can start talking a little bit about music.
Well, do we want to close this one out? Because like I said, I'm gonna split them in two because might as well have the NBA one all by itself, and then
Yeah, I mean, we never did the intro, so.
Yeah, we didn't, but that's kind of our thing now. We don't do it, so. Because we haven't done it in, like, the past few, I don't think. All
right, this is just a long, cold open, so.
Yeah, that long, cold open. 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 All right, but I don't know. We good, then? Should I just close this one out, then?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Cool. Well, this was the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, do all that stuff. For Mark Chakowski, Greg Stefanik, and Marshall Hartman, I'm Tony Ormello. Peace.
Deuces.
Peace. Peace.
Hate him.
Me.
I.